All right, let's just go do a word of prayer. So, Father, I thank you for your word. We appreciate it so much because we literally depend upon your word. I realize that if I was on an island, shipwrecked on an island, and I had no Bible, I would still have a relationship with you, and you would show yourself to me. But having your word is a great thing to be able to spend time with and digest, and to even seek things and to learn from it, because we want to know more of your character, we want to know more of who you are, because that helps us in our lives in terms of how we live, how we respond, how we can be a stronger Christian, even when sometimes it's not welcomed. We appreciate your word, Lord, and we just ask that the Holy Spirit teach us and show us what you want us to see here today. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So the message that we have, make sure this clicks here, is the Word of God brings persecution. And we've been working on a series of the Word of God, and you know, the Word of God is trustworthy. The Word of God, you know, gives strength. The Word of God encourages. The Word of God does all these things. If you go back to on our church website, in the archive section, you can see all those. I don't even know how many we have now. It must be like maybe 15 Sundays so far we've been going through. I still have more to go through. So this one here, this is the tough one, and I feel bad for the guests that have come in, because you know, sometimes a lot of times the messages are cheery. I don't think this one's extremely cheerful, but there's the truth into it, in the sense that we think in general that when we become Christians, life is going to be grand. Life is so much better. It's not going to be like what it was before. Well, I got news for you. It is grand in the sense that you'll have joy that surpasses all understanding, right? We get that. Through whatever experience you might be going through. But you're still going to experience life, and sometimes those experiences are going to be hard. But while you go through those, God is with you. And that's what makes it, I don't say bearable, because it's like, why do we go through some of these things? To be honest with you, I don't know. Why is it that it seems like some people's lives are just, just a bed of roses, and they never seem to have many things go wrong, health-wise, family problems, financial stuff, everything just seems to go smoothly for them. And then there's my life, you know. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I'm going through right now, you know. We got a text this morning talking about prayer and stuff. Hope, and I just like what Tom was saying, at that moment you just take a time in prayer. And so our sister-in-law called and said that her daughter, so our niece, is going through a hard time, you know. And kind of acting out a little bit. She's older, but there's an event that she's going through that's really hard for her to adjust to. And so we just prayed for God's peace to be, you know, in there. And so Christian families go through struggles. There's many people I know that have some children that have gone wayward with drugs, alcohol, and just doing bad things, you know. And that's just so much struggle that you have to go through. But that's not the persecution that I'm talking about that we're going to be looking at here in Scripture. But I want you to know that we do go through stuff, and God is with us during those times. All right, that's the foundation. And as, to me, that's what allows me to continue to be a Christian. Because I know that God will always be with me, even when the outcome isn't what I want. Because I want God's will to be shining here. All right, so we're going to be looking at this. The Word of God brings persecution. And it's kind of scary in a way, because we think of persecution as always like a really super negative thing. That there's, like I was telling the kids, you could be killed for your faith. You go to Muslim countries and stuff like that, and you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay, you're done. All right, that's just out of the law, right? You just, that's your death sentence right there. Or they'll put you in jail, or they'll kick you out of the country. And even certain churches or ministries, like the one, you know, Ron Fraser that we support over in Africa and Kenya and stuff, they have to have special permits. And those permits cost money in order to be able to to be able to preach and stuff. That was kind of funny too. I was kind of surprised that Keith Edick, who came and preached for me the one Sunday, if you remember him, he's going to be doing a music piece in the center of Governor, and that's going to be June 29th, I think it is, just in the courtyard area, right in the middle of Governor. And they had to fill out a permit for that. And so as they were filling it out, the person, the clerk or whatever, says, you know, you can't pray or preach there. You can sing all you want, but you can't pray or preach. And I'm like, really? I was really surprised that they said that, because, you know, there'll be politicians that will come over in the courtyard area. That's preaching. You know, their agenda, that's preaching. It's no different than us. And it's like, he says, well, he says, be honest with you, there probably will be a little of both. You know, and it's like, and she just kind of gave him a scowl and stuff like that, because, you know, they can't really tell you they can't do that sort of thing. At any rate, it was just kind of funny, because that was the first thing that came up as a Christian group going up, that you can't pray or preach. And so I was talking to their pastor, and he says, yeah, they signed the permit, but I didn't. I thought that was pretty cool, you know. You know, so we look at that, and we'll see what the outcome of it is going to be. But there's been other groups that have out there, and I like that. All right, so this is all prelude to what we're going to be looking here in Scripture. So let's go to the first Scripture verse we've got. Matthew 5, 10 through 12 says this: blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. All right, so first off, what are we looking at being persecuted for? Yeah, for carrying the righteousness that God wants us to. So is that our righteousness, or is that God's righteousness? It's God's righteousness. Sorry. So there are times that people are persecuted for what they do on their own, because they're radicals, you know, if you want to call it that. You know, they may want people to follow them and look to me for, you know, what you should be doing for your finances, or, you know, get a cult going and stuff like that. And really, when we're looking at it, we're not looking at just anybody being persecuted. And the Scripture is not about just general persecution. This persecution is all about being a believer in Christ and being persecuted for that. So when we're a believer in Christ, we have Christ in us. And Christ leads us to say things, to do things, to behave a certain way. And that is why Christ talks about this here in terms of being persecuted. And it's one of the final Beatitudes that we've got. The other ones are kind of like, you know, blessed are those who mourn, you know, the suffering, the stuff that they go through. Those that are teachable, you know, blessed are those people. Blessed are those that, you know, help others and stuff. But then this one here, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it continues to say this: blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because of Christ in you. And God is saying, you are blessed. Now, that makes no sense to me. Other than the fact that God recognizes what is right versus the world recognizing what is right. And when God sees right that righteousness in you, His righteousness, and you are living that out, you are blessed in His eyes. Maybe in nobody else's eyes around you. But you're not here to please man. You're here to please God in everything that you do. Right? And so we look at that. And so there's going to be things as a Christian that you are already labeled. Jesus freak. All right? Stuff like that comes out. Oh, you're one of those. It's a cult that you belong to. You're just so weak that you depend on some thing up in the sky. You know, that's what people will say. Because they don't know God. They don't know who He is, and they don't know, you know, why we even believe in Him. But He says here, this is Jesus' words, He says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And we know there were prophets that God sent to try to get the Israelites back in line with God. And again, that's one of the things I found in myself reading the Old Testament, was that God's compassion for His people. Over and over again, He would forgive their sins and He would try to restore the Israelite nation. And when they did something extremely bad, like idol worship, and just abused the whole idea of God, God corrected them and allowed other nations to come in and take them over. But there was always a remnant that came through. And out of that remnant came more. Right? The multiplication of the people, the multiplication of the faith, all the way to the point that Christ comes out of the Israelites even. Christ never gave up on them. And even though the Jews today do not believe that Jesus is the Savior, there's going to come a time where Jesus is going to deal with them specifically. And He's going to prove to them that He is the Christ and that they had missed out on the church here. Which is a shame, really. Because they literally refused anything to do with Christ and the stuff that came along with it. But God is saying that there's a reward. And one of the things that we'll be looking at, I think maybe even next week, that with this whole idea of the reward, that the Word of God has rewards to it. Right? So we're going to look at the persecution part this week. Next week is going to be the rewards and stuff. All right, so... Oh, we got a blank here. In Acts chapter 22, we're going to be looking at Paul and his ministry. And I take Paul. Paul went through an awful lot of persecution. And we know that blessed are those who are persecuted. So Paul was blessed. And we know that Paul was a strong evangelist. He was a church planter. He was a man that was, in essence, fearless about preaching the word to whoever needed to hear, right? He just kind of listened to God and did what God said. But you look at this aspect of who he was, and he's mentioned this a couple times in Scripture, and I don't know if this came to line because when Deb had texted me a couple times and we were talking a little bit about this, but let's just read this. In Acts 22, verses 2 through 8, it says, "And Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today." Speaking to other Pharisees and teachers of law. He says this, "I persecuted the followers of this way to their death." Now, there's no recollection of Paul persecuting any other groups of people. He specifically felt that he needed to persecute Christians. And when they talk about followers of the way, that's what he's talking about, is Christians. He didn't persecute the blacks. You know, we have a lot of racial stuff, the Hispanics, the Chinese, like, you know, we seem to have a lot of prejudice, based upon sex or whatever. It's just crazy. Paul set out to get rid of Christians because he felt he was righteous before God, and doing that was what he was supposed to do. Right? He felt he was in the right to destroy the Christians. Right? So he persecuted them all the way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into the prison. Okay, so what happens to the kids?
Someone's
left to take care of the kids and stuff like that. It's like Paul had no concern for that, right? And he comes in and he did this, threw him into prison, as also the high priest and the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. Right? You punish them enough. The goal is that they will give up their Christianity and go back to Judaism. The way it should be. The way it's always been. Because tradition says this is what we do. We were brought up, he was trained, this is exactly what this is. And then he talks about this next experience here. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" You imagine that. All of a sudden, you're on this road, you're down, you're blinded by the light, and you're being asked this question, "Why are you persecuting me?" Well, he doesn't know who me is because he doesn't know who God is, right? Literally. So he says, "Who are you?" I asked. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. Wait, no, he's persecuting Christians. So how can he be persecuting Christ? Yeah, Christ is in us. Anybody else? That's enough? Yeah. I'm fine with that too. It's like, yeah, the idea is like, it's Christ that allows us to be Christians. We cannot be a Christian without Christ. We cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. We cannot be a Christian without God the Father. That's what makes us Christian. And so, when Jesus speaks to him, he says, "Why are you persecuting me? You're attacking my people. You're attacking those that believe in me and living for me. They're living with my righteousness in them." And you know, it's just like Pat was saying, when you're a Christian, you're paying your taxes. You're following the laws. Right, guys? 55? Yep. This is not a place to look at me and just focus things on me. No comment. But the point is, you know, it's like what we are, we're living for Christ, and it's Christ in us that is being persecuted. And so we look at that, and Paul here at this point finally comes face to face with Christ. He knew all about the Jesus story. I mean, he was a persecutor of Christians, so he knows what they were, where they were coming from and what they lived for. But Paul, being a stout Israelite, a leader, right? Trained by the best of the leaders, he wanted nothing to do with Christ because he figured Christ was just very blasphemous and he deserved to die. Because all, what is it? What's the verse where it talks about those that all are cursed who hang on a tree, right? And so Christ hung on the tree, on the cross, and so he obviously was guilty of the blasphemy that he was set up for. Armando, I'm sorry. What was it? Did this just go out? No, I'm good. Okay, so we're just looking at this, giving this picture of who Paul is and everything, right? And what happened to him. So, in John, this is Jesus speaking about that persecution. And in John 15, 20 through 21, it says, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me," which we just looked at that scripture verse, right? Oh my gosh. "They will persecute you also. And if they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." You're being persecuted by non-believers because they don't know who God is. Now, when they get to know who God is, they might have that reversal just as Paul had his reversal. And that's really what we want to do. So we are the light for Christ. We preach the gospel to others. We have His righteousness in us. We show that to the world. Sometimes the world accepts it. Sometimes it doesn't. And if it doesn't, and it doesn't, and it doesn't, and it doesn't, do we give up? Some people might. What's the point? Nobody's hearing the word. Nobody's going out on what that's out there. And it becomes pretty hard to be able to do that. But we know that the whole point of the persecution comes down to the fact that people don't know God. What's our job? Right, our job is to show love. And in that love, we're giving them the gospel. Why? Because what we're doing is giving them life. We're showing them that we want you to know who God is, and just as we do, and be filled with that spirit that just kind of gives us life to live and to have a hope that nobody else seems to have. At least the non-believers don't have. We are. Yeah. All right, so we look at this here, and then we're going to go on to the next one there. And we look at this. And in Hebrews 11, verses 36 through 38, it talks about some of the people that faced persecution. Now, this is probably kind of graphic, really. But listen to what it says. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Would you still be a believer if you had to walk around with animal skins around you because you couldn't afford any clothing? Would you still be a believer if you had to... if you lost your house and your nice car and you had to live in Lake Bonaparte Cave with all that? I saw that. It's all possum poop and stuff, and that's gross. No joke. It's really bad. Yeah, I did not do that part. So you'll have to go back and see that. Anyway, think about it. These people went through persecution, and I'm talking real live nasty persecution, and yet they kept their faith. I can't tell you how strong of a statement that is. You could see your wife, you could see your children killed before you. Would you still continue to keep your faith, even if they said, if you just renounce Christ and say you're no longer a Christian, I will not kill your family? Well, we don't know until we get to that position there. But I truly believe that God will give us the strength. Last week, right, that was all about the Word of God gives strength. He will give you the strength you need to have to go through what you need to do. He'll carry you. What He wants from you is to continue to trust in Him even when the persecution gets strong. Right? And it gets really, really bad. And it really can be kind of nasty that's in there. So we look at this, and Paul's going to talk about some of his struggles here in Acts 11, 19 through 21. He says, now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as... I can't pronounce it. Phoenicia? Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to preach to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, I want you to think about this. When they talk, the reference to Stephen is what they consider the first martyr. He was the first one that was just, you know, he was professing his faith in God and in Jesus. And he was a very, according to Scripture, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He really was a gifted individual. And we look at that aspect of him being a potential server of Christ that could bring thousands of people to Christ because of the skills that God has put upon him and the gifts that were given to him. Sometimes we're like, wow, why don't I get all those gifts and stuff like that? But because of Stephen's faith, he was stoned. And that was the beginning of the persecution of the Christians. And that was all in the Jerusalem area there. Right? The Jews tolerated it for long enough, and finally they said, we're done with this. And that's where Saul, you know, earlier, gets the letters from his leaders saying, go out, find the people of the way, and persecute them to the point of death. So, we look at this. So I'm going to ask you a simple question. Was Stephen's stoning a good thing or a bad thing? Oh, so it's good that we stone people. Is that what you're saying? Well, no, that's what you said. That's what you said. Bad thing for Stephen, but good for Christ, right? No, so really what happened was, because of Stephen's death, it forced all those Christians that wanted to continue to believe in Christ, but get away from the persecution part of it, to leave the city. Now, what's interesting in this scripture verse right here, they just didn't leave the city and go to caves and hide away. They preached the gospel wherever they went. And as they preached the gospel, even though they were being persecuted, thousands came to know Christ. So in this sense, that persecution caused the growth of Christianity in that area. Now we look at it from a human perspective and say, oh, Stephen should have stuck around and stuff. Maybe so. But God has other plans that we don't always understand. And we've got to trust that what God is allowing to happen, that there's a reason behind that. We don't always see the end. We don't always know that. But it's there. Now, we look at that persecution and all those that were scattered by that. When Paul went through that and the struggles that he had, I think it's important to know that his body was beat. And crazy, but he still continued. In 2 Timothy 3:10-17, it says, "You, however, know all about my teaching." This is the people, Paul's speaking about himself right here. "You know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecutions I endured." I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Paul went through a lot. His whole life when he became a Christian changed. Because those people that were his friends in the synagogue and stuff now have become his enemy. Right? And because of that, there was all this persecution. What's really neat is that Paul did everything he could to stop the way, the movement of the Christianity. He becomes a Christian himself, promoting it. And that really set a lot of those traditional Jews on their toes. And they said, we need to get rid of Paul. They tried killing him in a lot of different ways, beating him and all that. And you think about that. He says here, this is my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. Paul showed love every moment after he met Christ. He never really says anything bad about the people, other than sometimes what happens, you know, just a he never, those people that retaliated him, followed him to Lystra and you know, Corinth and all those, and made all those types of problems with him, he never waited for them around a back street to beat him up. He never sent other people to go over and attack those people. He preached the word and he would go from city to city. It's crazy to be able to do that. And we look at what he went through. He never stopped preaching his whole life. And it says here, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11, verse 21 through 31. And just Paul speaks about who he is. He says, "To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that." He says that whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this, right? Because we know it's going to be problems, he says. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 5 times. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I faced daily the pressure of my concerns for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. Right? Just very simply put, Paul has gone through a lot. His body's been abused, his mind's been abused, his time on earth has been abused. He's weak. And he's busted up. But his faith is always, always with God. Now, I don't expect you guys to go out and get beaten, lashed, and all that stuff like that, and say, "Oh, I'm being persecuted." You know, the more I'm beat up, the more I'm persecuted, the more God loves me. No, that's not what I was saying. That was Paul's ministry. He went through that. You're going to go through your own form of persecution. Right, and it's the idea is whatever that is. Hopefully, in this world, you know, we don't really see that in this country. But the thing is that there will be persecution because the world is getting darker and darker and darker, and they're rejecting the Word of God more and more and more. And so, when they see the Word of God, hear the Word of God, and then realize it in action in you, their only retaliation is to get rid of you. Because they don't want their sins exposed. And that's where the persecution comes from. They do not know God, nor do they want to know God. So what do? They take it out on you. Because you're the, if you want to call it, the weak vessel, right? They just take it out on God. God's like too big, but you know, they can't deal with that sort of thing. So the thing is that we're looking at is how do we deal with sort of things. So let's look at this next. We're going to continue on with this scripture verse here. But as for you, right? These are Paul's words, being beaten on the way he was, right? And but yet he still keeps his faith. And he says this, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Because you know from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Hang on to what you know. That your firm foundation is in Christ. Do not let that go, no matter what is going on. These are the words from Paul, who has been persecuted over and over and over again. Right? Words of wisdom from someone that's experienced that sort of thing. Now, God gave him the strength to be able to do that. I get that part of it. And maybe we're not as weak as as strong. Maybe we don't have the relationship with Jesus Christ the way he did. But you know what? You are a son of God, a daughter of God, as a believer. And God knows your heart. He knows where you stand right here today. And he wants you to come closer to him and closer to him. And you know what that means? That means living for him in all aspects of your life. Regardless of what your neighbor thinks of. Sometimes even regardless of what your spouse thinks. Live for Christ and have his righteousness in you. Don't make your own righteousness. It's his righteousness. Because this is what Paul is saying. Continue in what you have and don't let go of that. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, even if they're persecuted. Every good work that God wants you to do. Scripture, as we say, is just a great thing to be able to have. Because again, remember, these messages aren't just about giving you information. It's like, what does it mean to us? I want to encourage you to keep your faith. Even when you might be going through that cancer. I want you to keep that faith. Even when you lose two loved ones in a week's time. Keep your faith. Because people will see that. And when you say that God is holding me, because I'm so weak, I can't handle this, but I know God is there. People hear that and they say, wow, I want that too. Because I know what it was like when I went through something and it was really hard. And I wish I had that connection with God the way you have it. And they'll see that. And if they don't see it, they'll say, oh, whatever, you know. It doesn't matter. Because it's a relationship with God. And the last verse that I've got for you is this here. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 says this. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. So this is something that those people that are actually being persecuted are continuing in their faith, not because it's just the power that God has given them, but because they know that there's other believers that are praying for them, that are living for the very cause that they're trying to give out, you know, that message of the gospel to those that have never heard that message or just reject that message. And whether they die through that or not, they are encouraged by your faith back here at home. So yeah, you may not be going out there, but by living as a Christian, you encourage those that are being persecuted today. That's powerful. Your prayers, the way you live, the things that you say, the little touches that you can put on this life, where they, wherever you go, it's a better place now than what it was before I came. Not because of, you know, your sunshine, smile, and everything like that, but because of the life that you've given people to choose, which is Christ. When you go to the store and, you know, like, go past it, that means a lot to me that we don't do that because we're Christian. That's the stuff that this scripture here is speaking about. Yeah, life can be hard. We're not necessarily always persecuted. But for those that are being persecuted, your faith encourages them to continue their faith because it's worth it. It's worth hanging on to God, not just because it's going to make me feel good, but it's an eternal thing. That is what I consider that ultimate fact of life, that there is God and there's only one God out there. And if you believe in Him with all your heart, you'll have eternal life with Him forever. And if you don't, you're going to have eternal life in hell, which is an absence of God. You choose. Regardless of what happens to you after that choice, I want you to know, making the choice to serve God is the best choice that you can make in your life ever. Amen. And you've got people all around you here that can help encourage you, that can you can share with them. You may find one person out of, you know, this whole town that you can connect with. Praise God. Other times you might be able to be, you know, drawing from a lot of people or sharing with a lot of people. That's okay too. The point is that you're not alone as a believer. That God is there. His Word is before you. His Spirit is in you. What's a little persecution? I've got God. I've got eternity. That's right. That's what I'm looking for. And that's the good thing. Let's just close there. Father, we just thank you for your Word. We thank you for what we have come to realize here. That our struggles really are small compared with eternity. I realize that they're hard and there's emotional in there and there's duress and there's pain, there's suffering. But through and through, God is with us. And we get to choose to continue to believe in Him through all of that. And God says that we are blessed. I'm banking on that, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.